This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Metal Shop here on The Rock. Right now we're talking with a band that is going to be doing some local representation on Northwest Terror Fest, which is going down Thursday, May 25th, Friday, May 26th, and Saturday, May 27th. Bands like Yah, bands like Autopsy, bands like Ghoul and Impaled, and the band who's in studio now, Cult Sickness. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Feels good to be here.
Billy, you've been here for, how many bands have you been here for?
Three bands, yeah.
So was Throne of Bone ever here?
No, Throne of Bone wasn't.
It was Big Truck, okay.
Post Boredom,
and now Cult Sickness.
Now Cult Sickness.
Nice, all right, well, welcome. Let's reintroduce yourself and tell us what you do in the band.
I'm Billy, I play bass and do vocals.
Right on.
I'm Laura and I do vocals.
I'm Wes and I play guitar.
And we're missing one person, who is it?
Nate, the golden child, the anchor, the key to our hearts, missing at work.
Sweetie boy.
Sweet golden retriever, man.
Yeah.
Let's shout out, where does he work?
We're bad friends. I don't really
know. He works at PCC.
Okay.
I'm a bad friend. Then.
Okay, we'll shout out to him.
Let everybody else into that one.
Can one of you guys do his voice?
Oh, man.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think I could.
No?
I can't even hear what he sounds like in my head right now.
What's his favorite band?
I don't know that either. Probably.
What's his eye color?
Blue.
Where was he born? Yeah.
I think he was born in Spokane in eastern Washington somewhere.
He grew up in Ellensburg.
Yeah.
What's his mom's name?
I don't know.
Becky? Yeah. I don't know.
Ja Rule.
What's his favorite Northwest band?
Probably Denial of Life. He talks about them a lot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Who was also playing Terror Fest.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Okay. Well, I'll stop drilling you guys about the guy you don't know where he works.
Sorry, Nate.
Let's get a little history of Cult Sickness. So I did have you, Billy, up here in the past for some of your bands. So tell me a little bit about Cult Sickness, man, and the backstory. This is something that kind of started during the global pandemic.
Yeah, dark times, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
From the ashes of post-mortem. Exactly. Cold sickness.
Hey, man, you're already a publicist, dude. You're working your publicist muscles.
Like a phoenix rising. It was during pandemic. I was getting those big, fat government checks.
Yep.
Bought some recording equipment.
That was a good time, man.
Oh, that was a great time. Made probably more money than I've ever made, and it wasn't even that much money.
I'm not going to lie. You know, I do not want to go back to that time period. But sometimes when I get really busy these days and I'm going to work, I long for those days where I had nothing to do and I was just going on long meandering walks, listening to music and just getting unemployment. That was kind of sick.
And everybody, you know, is digging deep into the internet and like pulling up weird stuff every day.
Cleaning everything out. The line to the Goodwill donation bins was just like, it was a weird time. Anyway, so continue on. So you bought some gear.
Yeah, I bought some recording equipment, just like a little $100 used Fender Squire, and just started writing music based off of a lot of depression and anger from COVID, and so it took on a lot harder of an edge than post-boredom was going.
Post-boredom was more like kind of angular post-hardcore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The term post-hardcore just describes so much and so little that I guess that's every band, right? You tell them to sound like something.
Noise rock? Would you say noise rock? Would you say noise rock, kind of?
I want to be even more annoying about it and say it was like no wave.
No wave. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. The micro genre has been placed upon it. Nice. Okay. That's the thing is you can't get nerds mad by misidentifying their micro genre. That'll just make them rage.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we finally nailed it down. So anyways, continue on.
I had these riffs and my buddy Justin, who plays drums in Eris, was like, hey, I know a ripping drummer I work with and he's not in any bands. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, I was like, yeah. But I just basically was like, give me his number because I kind of don't believe you. And got a hold of Nate and he showed up ready to jam. And
similar music taste?
Yeah, actually, definitely. Cool. He's he's like 7 years younger than me or something like that. Yeah. How old is Nate? There's another question.
He's 32.
Okay. Yeah. I'm 5 years older than him. But in like punk years, that's a lot.
It's like three generations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's living the lifestyle me and you. Yep. He loves hardcore.
Cool.
He loves, he calls it jock music. He says, like, we were talking about playing with certain bands. He's like, I just want to play with jock bands. Like,
cool. it's like he wants to get in mosh. You know, he wants to play with the floor punches and the mad balls, right?
Oh, he loves it.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, there we go. Nice. Yeah. So you wrote some hardcore stuff and you got him and started jamming with him?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was still pretty angular at the time.
Yeah.
It was still very post-boredomy until Wes eventually joined and reworked all the songs. Like, I'm a bass player. There wasn't, like, a single Paul Mutant in any of our songs, and now we have a lot of them.
How'd you meet these guys, Wes?
I think Billy actually reached out to me on Instagram.
Great Falls.
Great Falls.
Dear friends that we've been playing alongside in different bands.
Yeah, and I used to work with Damien whenever he was over at Annie's Art and Frame back in the day. So
We're
pretty good buddies.
Damien also from Undertow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
He recommended Wes, and I was like, this guy's a ripper. I'd seen him play in his old band Theories. I was like, there's no way he's going to want to
You were in Theories.
Music.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Did a few years with Theories, did the Vessel record with those guys.
Oh, that's a great record. That's awesome. Right on. And then how did you join?
Billy reached out to me and was like, hey, I'm looking for a vocalist. We're wanting to do like some kind of style of hardcore. We've been jamming. This is what we've got. What do you think? And I said, man, all I want to do is something like Some Girls. And he's like, that's the magic word.
Cool.
And we started going in that direction. And Wes came along and we shifted to something a little bit heavier, but still has some little weird noisy stuff going on. So,
I had never heard of that band before.
Some Girls, had you been in any bands before that?
No.
Okay.
No, first band.
You guys were friends?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Nice. Just meet through music scene and stuff like that?
Yeah, mutual friends.
Yeah. I actually saw on Lauren's Instagram story that there's a Some Girls skateboard in the background.
Wow.
I have a 3 deck that was signed by every member of Head Wound City.
Maybe it was a Some Girls shirt.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So similar music taste.
Yeah, it's that similar or that simple.
Sure.
Both fans of 3WG bands.
It's, you know, pretty obscure kind of style of music. So once you meet someone, you got to glom onto them, right? You're just like, oh, okay, let's
for
go.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So did it get going pretty quickly?
Fairly quickly, yeah. Like we probably spent, because, I was the last person to join, so. And I think that would have been around end of March, maybe of 2022.
That sounds
I believe.
Right.
Oh, only yeah, been a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just at a year now. And yeah, just kind of learning stuff they had already done and then just being like, well, how can I incorporate my playing into these songs they've already written? So then I kind of took a little bit of some extra time, but we played our first show in like
May 20th.
Yeah, May 20th at the Roller Rink.
Oh, that's awesome. What's it like playing there? I've seen shows there, but playing there, you guys playing the middle, right? Yeah. Where everyone's skating around you. You like it?
It was wild.
It's amazing how good the sound is there.
Yeah.
It's better than most of the venues.
Incredible. Yeah.
The sound, like, they did a really, really good job. I know the sound tech engineer, I don't know the proper label for him, but Greedy Greg knows what he's doing, and he's been doing it forever, and there's some...
Well, that's a name for someone book a show. Greedy Greg.
I'm pretty sure he does Greed Tone amps.
Okay. Makes sense.
Which are amazing. Otherwise, I don't know what that nickname's all about.
Hey, can we get the money you owe us, Greedy Greg?
Yeah.
Too busy skating in circles.
Yeah. Right?
Shout out Southgate Roller Rink.
So this is your first show you ever perform, and it's at a skating rink.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was...
Very unique.
It was very fun. It was intense, but just to see so many supportive friends come out and just sit in front of us while a lot of people are skating around.
Yeah.
And we got to go skate around, and it was surreal.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had my lyrics on the floor that I needed to peek at because I was so nervous
cheat.
That I was worried that I was going to forget.
Yeah.
Ended up pulling it off.
Nice. Who'd you take vocal influence from as your, you know, this is your first project as a vocalist? Was there any musicians that you like looked to for influence?
Not particularly.
Okay.
I've done like some singing for a while just because I love to do karaoke.
Okay. So what's your go-to jam?
Oh, gosh. Recently, it's been Faith by George Michael.
Okay. Do you ever just get real gnarly and go for the Limp Bizkit version?
I only learned about that a few weeks ago.
Really?
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I did see someone do it for karaoke, and it was a great time.
Okay. That's awesome. There's a local like hip-hop artist named Tezza Talks who just did a cover of Break Stuff. I played it on Loud and Local.
I heard it.
Love that.
Loud and Local.
Yeah,
actually.
And she took a video of her. She shared a video on her stories of listening to it in the car with her friends, and she was like freaking out. It actually made my week because she was like blasting it, and she's like, I'm on the radio, screaming out the door and stuff. It was like, that was so sick. So the Limp Bizkit talk stops now. Anyway, we'll continue on.
All right, well, we're done.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So your first show is in the books, when did you guys start recording?
July.
Or did you record
July?
Before?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of, like, playing new songs live first. You kind of get to hear them in a different way and always have different ideas of what they sound like than you do in your practice space.
Mm-hmm. Get to see, like, people react to them.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, that was good. Instead of like, we just like that part.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm going to call you out, Billy. What is your stance on bar rock? You're an anti-bar rock guy, right?
Damn.
You hate bar rock?
I'm trying to be all positive over here and kind of bring out the demon in me.
Let's hear. Let's. I want you to call out bar rock.
It's just a bunch of boomer bolt, like tired old men playing uncreative chords you learn in baby's first guitar lesson.
All right.
That's what I have to say about that.
Is there ever a time where you're jamming and you're like, that's too bar rock?
Dude, we play bar rock on purpose all the time.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I love playing terrible riffs.
Almost
it's so much
like
fun.
A butt rock song. Yes. It could be written. We could record it. We played it so many times.
You know what? You guys are going to ironically write a bar rock song, then it'll become your big hit.
We're going to get Chumbawamba'd.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I went to Singles Going Steady, and the guy running there, the one person who works there, he was like, hey, you want to listen to some old Chumbawamba records? And so he showed me all their like old like punk. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had no idea. I knew that they had affiliation with Crass, but I didn't know that they actually made like really sick punks.
Yeah, they were like, they made that pop record because they wanted to promote their other stuff, and they were like huge anarchists.
Yeah.
Like crazy awesome, crazy in a good way, awesome politics back in the day that they just wanted to like use that to kind of catch people's ear and see what else they could introduce to them. I think it's brilliant. I mean, that music was terrible. That song, if I hear that, I just want to die.
Well, we're actually going to go into that right now. There's a clip of them on Rosie O'Donnell, and she's like, you guys are anarchists. Does that mean you're going to hurt me?
Oh, my God.
So good.
It'd be cool if they just said yes.
Yes, we are. Actually, we're going to go into a song. It's not Chumbawamba. It's not Limp Bizkit. And it's not a clip from Rosie O'Donnell. It's All My Friends Are Going to Be Strangers, Cult Sickness. And this comes from the EP. You can catch them Friday the 26th at Northwest Terror Fest. 3-day tickets are available now, or you can buy day passes. Anything you guys want to say about this one? All My Friends Are Going to Be Strangers. Is this a true story?
Billy lifted the song title from a book he walked past. On the side.
Really?
I walked dogs for a job, and I just walked by one of those little libraries, and I saw this title. I think it had like a cowboy on the cover of it or something, and some old Western book, and I was like, that's a weird, dark deep title. Let's use it for a song. And Lauren's like, yes.
Do you ever pick up those books?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I pick them up a lot and
nice.
Give them away.
Cool.
A lot of weird fantasy stuff out there.
Oh, yeah. My roommate puts out the fantasy books. Yes, he does. He puts out some stuff.
That's awesome.
All right. All My Rangers, Cult Sickness. You can see them at Northwest Terror Fest. It's Metal Shop here on 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Cult Sickness here on Metal Shop. It's 99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. We have a band here that's going to be playing Northwest Terror Fest. Have you guys been to Northwest Terror Fest before?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Have you guys ever played Northwest Terror Fest?
No.
No?
No.
No? Okay. No. We jump into this, you know, weird, crazy time of the pandemic. Where were you guys all at? You know, like, what were you guys doing? What did you guys have, you know, day jobs you got? You sustained? Were you at home for a while? Were you, you know, starting off March 2020, where were you guys at mentally, and what were you guys doing with your time?
Playing way too many video games.
Okay.
Smoking insane amounts of weed. And
so you weren't working?
I had two clients, two dog walks still,
yeah.
And they moved due to pandemic circumstances. So yeah. Just to make a couple extra bucks, I was driving. One dog was in Renton.
Yeah.
And the next dog was in Northgate.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was interesting to be driving 2 hours a day for an hour of work.
Yep. And how about you?
Early March 2020, I was bartending in Georgetown. And I had a feeling on my last Friday night shift that when I locked those doors, I would not be reopening them. I had a feeling. I was looking
was the
at
bar?
The data. I was working at Smarty Pants.
Okay.
And I was also in school, and yeah. I graduated from UW in June of 2020.
Wow.
So that was a strange experience. But I remember that last Sunday, I want to say it was like March 15th or 16th or something, and yeah. I was at a bar that a former partner of mine worked at. And we were with some friends, and all of a sudden, like, the notice from the governor came, and it was like, everything's shutting down. I'm like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
Well, here we mm-hmm. go. And yeah. then, yeah. And it was studying and a lot of video games.
Yep. And Wes, how about you?
Yeah, during that time, I was still at Annie's Art and Frame.
Yep.
The day everything went into place, me and my girlfriend, still current girlfriend, we're actually out at a nice little like treehouse kind of cabin. Like, I couldn't tell you where, but we woke up and we're like, let's go get breakfast. And we're like, oh, we can't really do anything anymore. So, because I think at that point, I'm not sure if she had started school or not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely just kind of threw a wrench in everything. And then, yeah, those government checks came in and I bought way too many guitar pedals.
Nice, nice.
And then
nice.
I was like, you know what? I have camera equipment. I'll just start doing YouTube stuff. Why not? You know, mm-hmm. So did that for a little bit. And then,
what's your YouTube stuff? When you shut that up?
Oh, my God. I haven't done anything on that in forever. But it was just like guitar pedal demos and
okay.
that kind of stuff. Nothing too crazy. I did it for maybe 8 months roughly, and then it was just one of those where I was like, man, this is just so time consuming to get like 30 views on YouTube.
You don't do the reaction videos?
Like, oh god, no.
Like, Brett,
nobody wants to see my
reaction video. I hate those.
Yeah.
Are you still streaming on Twitch?
No, I'd consider doing it just with like work and school schedule and band stuff. Like,
so
I just don't
right
yeah, I just don't have the time to really dedicate to that, but I'd love to. It was fun. Even when nobody's in there.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, I'm going to smoke more weed and talk to myself and act
isn't
like there's
isn't
people
it against
in there.
Rules to smoke weed on Twitch? If someone's
I'm
watching,
sure
I guess.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I say no one's watching me.
Since no one's watching, yeah. It's not. Yeah.
You got some traction on TikTok.
There we go.
For a little bit. Thanks, Elden
yeah.
Ring.
Yeah.
TikTokers, content creators. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna hang with the kids.
Oh my god! Yeah, so I interviewed a young artist here, kind of pop punk artist for Loud and Local, and I was like, "So, what's up, fellow kids? You know, like
yeah.
I'm just like,
how do you do?
Do kids even make albums anymore, or do you just do singles?" And they were like, "Oh, we still do albums, you know, but we're." Anyways, okay, so during this pandemic, you know, tons of crappy days, and that's it's not just, you know, obviously it's not only during the pandemic we've had crappy days, but when you have one of those, like you're just kind of down in the dumps, what's an album you can reach for that can bring you back to a good place? Whether it's a positive record or a negative record, you know, just something that's a good go-to. Billy, let's start with you.
Oh, man, I listened to so much Turmoil during the pandemic. I really got back in touch with that band.
Great band.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so good. It's one of the scariest shows I've, like, ever been to. I thought the singer was going to, like, fight the crowd the entire
time. Turmoil.
Yeah.
You saw Turmoil?
Hell's Kitchen in Tacoma, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Young and terrified.
How about you?
When I'm starting to feel down, I just let myself sink into it. And I just let myself feel all of that because I know it's got to find its way out somehow.
Yeah.
And then I just listen to Elliot Smith's self-titled.
Okay. Wow.
Really get
really
thick
morose.
Of it.
Yeah. Yes. Swim into the sea of sadness. Wes, how about you?
Oh, man. I feel like during, like, that time, at least, like, kind of pandemic stuff, there was a lot of Typo Negative being played. Definitely a lot of that. Probably a lot of Portal, too, just to kind of match the craziness of everything going on.
Oh, man. I remember actually what I listened to even more than Turmoil. Tim Heidecker's Yellow River Band.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole record. Like, it's so well written, beautifully
so
made, and every song, well, almost every song. There's one song about poop, but the rest are about drinking piss.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a really good record. If you haven't heard it, it's called Urinal Street Station, and
it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a really good record.
Yeah.
So you brought up Portal, and I gotta mention that nobody I've ever asked this question to has brought up Portal except for you and Phil Anselmo. He would not stop talking about Portal. Like, we would be like, hey, you want to talk about it? He's like, no, bro, Portal, the song, Glummerphonal, play it right now, Portal, Glummerphonal. And he was wearing a Portal t-shirt.
That's
and it was
so
just
cool.
Like, damn, bro.
Just... You and Phil Anselmo, Wes.
We just have so much in common.
Okay, so you guys have the demo out. I hear through the grapevine you guys might be working on some new material.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All right, tell me a little bit more.
I think we're about, I don't know, 6-7-ish songs right now. Mm-hmm. Just really taking the time to, you know, do terrible cell phone recordings in the practice space and then... Cool. Send them out, listen to them, and be like, you know, I really don't like that part. Let's see if we can make it better. Or there's been a few that we've just, like, scrapped completely for now until we figure out how we want to reapproach those, you know, so.
You're calling them riff salad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a lot of riff salad.
Yeah. Nice. So what can we expect? Full-length EP or?
We're going to do a full-length.
Yeah, okay. Full-length for sure.
You going to put it out on vinyl? You just going to be digital release? What do you think?
Probably a... Tape. I mean, it's some tape. Label wants to put it on vinyl, but it's so expensive and it's extremely wasteful. Yeah, CDs are cool again. And, I mean, it's still the best sound.
Love compact discs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm a CD guy.
Yeah.
Love them. Got 8 binders full of them.
Still?
Really? Alphabetical.
Damn. Really?
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing radio for 20 years, bro. Of course I have CDs. Oh, yeah. The CD promo era was amazing. Yeah. I would just get stacks. It was like every day I would go down to the mailroom and it was like Christmas. Now it's digital. You know, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, I'm in an area of privilege where I get free music. It's cool. I'll never say no. But the CDs were fun. So.
Yeah, and having a CD, I don't know. There's just something about the physical part of it.
Absolutely.
I just miss, like, the compilations that came out there and all that.
Best
too.
Comp
like,
you ever really got. What's your favorite comp?
Oh, God.
I Victory feel like Style 2. What do we got here?
Yeah.
Fat Records. What do we got?
I feel like physical one that I burned through a lot during probably, like, 9th or 10th grade. I couldn't remember exactly what it was, but I remember Darkest Hour was on there.
Oh, like on Victory?
I think it was a Victory.
Yeah, Victory Style.
And it was pretty solid.
I'm going to go back down my 3-1-G hole and do Dynamite with a Laser Beam.
Dynamite with a Laser Beam, okay.
The nice. Queen covers comp.
Wow. Nice.
Mine was Punk Uprising, which was a local, like, I think, TV show.
From New Jersey.
From New Jersey. And they had
everything. Anal was on it.
Yeah, everything from that to the Bouncing Souls to Kill Your Idols. That's one of my big steps into hardcore was, like, there's a couple hardcore bands in there, and Kill Your Idols, like, always rode that punk side of hardcore, and it pulled me in big time.
Mine was, believe it or not, a compilation that my mom got me from a Christian bookstore called Songs from the Penalty Box by Solid State and Tooth and Nail Records. Ooh. And so, you know, my mom thinking she's going to get me some nice Christian music, she ended up getting me, you know, into bands like Living Sacrifice, Stretch Armstrong, Strong Arm, mm-hmm. you know, Zayo, and then like some of the more pop punk stuff. But then, you know, follow that trajectory and through those bands and the bands that they think, it's a direct correlation between my mom getting me a Christian CD and then years later I'm playing Deicide on the radio. So yeah. It's like, yeah, thanks, Mom.
Yeah, I mean, Stretch Armstrong, like those bands would still tour with like way gnarlier bands.
Yeah,
Stretch Armstrong
bands,
and Buried Alive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Because I grew up in the South and half the bands were like Christian hardcore bands.
Norma Jean.
You know? But I feel like half that was kind of a front.
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit.
It was cool.
Like,
it was
I'll call them out. But
definitely a trend for sure.
So you guys are a Christian band, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We love Creed.
Okay, so a full length coming out, and it'll be out on Solid State Records or Tooth and Nail.
Yeah.
You know, something.
I'll
but,
take that money.
That's all we can pray for.
Yes, exactly.
Awesome prayers.
Hallelujah. We're going to go into ideation. Who wants to introduce this?
Billy.
Do you want to talk about it? You wrote it.
You did write it.
Yeah. What about it?
Tell me about it. What's it about?
This song is it's the first and only love song I've ever written. In my old band, Known Liar, we were a proper post-hardcore band, I'll say.
Yes.
And me and the lead songwriter, Matt, would always talk about like how hard it is to write an actual love song and not have sound like Aerosmith or something, like just some cheese ball crap, like a genuine.
I'm dying to forget you.
Exactly. And so somehow pulled it together and ended up doing the best I could for a really aggressive, angry, hardcore band.
All right. Let's go into it. It's Ideation by Cult Sickness. Catch them Friday the 26th at Northwest Terror Fest. Former members of Fading Fast, we have Cult Sickness here on KISW's Metal Shop. Is that a deep cut?
That's a deep cut that I forget about sometimes. My straight edge band is saying for.
Okay, let's try and let me see if I can figure this out. The bands that you were in. So we had Postmortem, Known Liar.
Known Liar, yeah.
Known Liar, was that before Postmortem?
That was at the same time. That was what Big Truck became.
Okay, so the Big Truck. Bone, Throne of Bone.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in MRSA? Or is that just Michael Freiberg?
No, that was just Freiberg.
Okay, so Throne of Bone. You were in Fading Fast.
Mm-hmm.
Was that before Throne of Bone?
Yes, definitely.
Was there anything in between?
There was a band before that you probably saw at Club Impact in Tacoma.
Yeah, Farewell to the Fallen.
Yes.
You took Ian's place.
Ian took my place,
Ian
and took I
took your
his place again.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. The bass wars between you
totally.
And Ian.
But it's cool because like we became friends that way. It wasn't like some weird jealousy thing or anything. We just became friends through that.
Farewell to the Fallen. So that was the entire Billy Hamilton discography?
I was in Pile High Club.
Oh, I just found a Pile High Club CD the other day.
Dude, I was in Pile High Club.
With Quinns.
Yeah, I was like 16 years old in a band with all these like 25 to 30-year-old Polish dudes playing New York hardcore.
And you were in Rosary.
I was in Rosary as well, yeah.
Speaking of New York hardcore.
Pre-terror, you know.
Yes.
Paul went to be in terror for a minute.
Yep. And sinking ships.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, man. So now that we have the full, you know, discography of Billy Hamilton out in the open, we basically doxed him. Okay, so, you know, recently saw that Turnstiles on a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah.
If you guys had to choose a corporate sponsor or some sort of, you know, brand synergy to represent Cult Sickness, and it was like, all right, we're going to kill you or you're going to take on brand sponsorship. What brand best, you know, synchronizes with Cult Sickness? We got like a beef stick sponsor. What do we got? Speed stick?
I would say Vaseline.
Vaseline? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse? All right.
Oh, goodness.
The band Exhumed said that they would do still chainsaws.
Wow, that's way cooler than what I just said.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think of something.
No More Tears Baby Shampoo.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Nice, all right.
Sick. Cool as light, I don't know.
Nice. Okay, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Okay.
You're more of a Coors Light lady?
It's all the same to me.
Okay. Sounds good. But you are a bartender, so if someone were to come up to you and ask for what's a drink that pisses you off when people ask for?
You know, mojitos.
Mojitos?
Mm-hmm.
It's just annoying
don't
as hell.
Don't make me get a plant.
Ah, fair enough.
I don't want to deal with the plant because then one person sees the plant drink and then everybody wants the plant
drink.
Everyone
wants the plant drink. Are you bartending now?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I am retired from the service industry.
What are you doing now?
I work in cancer research.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Billy, you're walking dogs?
I'm a dog walker.
Dog walker. Mm-hmm. Can people reach out to you if they want their dog walked?
They can reach out to the company I work for, yeah.
What's
it's
that?
A small indie company run by my wonderful boss, Erica. It's called Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
Yeah.
All right. How many dogs do you walk per day?
Usually anywhere from like 8 to 12, I'd say.
8 to 12?
Yeah.
You ever get bit?
Yes.
You ever get scars from your bites?
I'm wondering if I'm developing one on my hand right now, actually.
Wow.
I've only gotten actually attacked once in almost 10 years of doing this, though.
God damn.
And it was recently, and it was really scary. It was like on somebody's couch while they were telling me their dog is really nice and that they don't actually need the muzzle on them. And right when they said that, the dog launched onto me and started going after me.
I'm laughing at your trauma. I'm sorry.
No, you should definitely laugh. It was pretty funny. And they're like, well, are we going to see you tomorrow? And I was like, dude, no.
I'm going to the hospital. Wes, what do you do?
I work for Vita.
Oh, Cafe Vita.
Yeah.
Nice. Right on. Right on. I don't know why I'm gotten to the conversation of, what do you do? This is like a high
How
school
do you
reunion
pay your bills?
Cover. Yeah. You know, how's the weather? How about the Mariners? Okay. So now the question is, what's your favorite Northwest band of all time? This is you know, a local show, Metal Shop here on KISW. What's your favorite Northwest band of all time?
Oh, easy. Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains.
For right. sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been thinking about this the whole time since we got here, and I can't break it down. And I'm probably going to say a couple things and then go home and be like, that's not what it really is. It should have been this. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. We have everything from Flipper to Seaweed to smaller bands like Stay Gold.
You going to that reunion?
Absolutely. Nice. I'm going to try and go to Portland as well, as far as I can go. I was actually shameless about that reunion. I hit up Eagle, their drummer, and was like, my band should play this show. And he's like, sorry, dude.
And how about you?
The Blood Brothers changed my life when I was 14 years old. And everything's just been inspired by that ever since.
Nice. Friday, May 26th, again, Cult Sickness, awesome local band that's going to be putting a record out. You think 2023?
It would be nice to get it. Everything done this year, but I also wouldn't be upset if it was early of next year.
Cool.
I know the goal is to kind of try to figure out some recording stuff around potentially August, maybe September.
Yeah, we'll definitely record this year.
Yeah.
But maybe shop it around to labels this time around.
You know who you're recording with?
Not at the moment, no. Mm-mm. I think we got some ideas of some people.
Yeah, we got some ideas.
All right. Right on. Well, thanks for coming up. thanks for coming up to the studio. It's always a pleasure to have Billy Hamilton and his friends along. You know? Nice to meet y'all. Whatever rapscallions he brings through
NPCs
next time.
NPCs over here.
Couple randoms. It's nice to meet all of you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. Do you guys know if you're playing downstairs at Barboza or you're playing upstairs?
I'm guessing Barboza.
Yeah,
Barboza.
I would assume we'd probably be the first band on Friday.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is there any bands you guys are looking forward to on the lineup?
Impaled.
Yeah.
Autopsy.
I was stoked for Worm Rot. Yeah. But I'm also stoked that Cryptic Slaughter is going to be filling that gap. So
hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'd be pretty tight to see those dudes again.
Cool. Right on. And Denial of Life and Lilith. Awesome. Also awesome local metal and hardcore band. So we're going to go into Devourer. And what we're going to do now is I want you to step forward and you will introduce this in the cheesiest radio way possible. So I want you to pretend like you're in a night. Basically, I want you to pretend like you're the host of that FX morning show with Elliot Smith. I want you to be as cringe as possible. Okay. And like you're on a wacky, zany morning radio show. I want you to introduce, say, like, hey, you're listening to Metal Shop. I'm from Cold Sickness. Here's Devourer. And in the cheesiest way possible, okay? With a little honk honk awooga. Yeah. All right, I'm going to turn my mic off and it's
little
your turn.
Kazoo sound.
Yeah,
hey! This is. Okay. You're listening to Metal Shop on KSW, and we're here, and we're Cold Sickness, and you're listening to one of our ribbon tunes called Devourer. Honk honk.
Amazing.
Good job.
Let's go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!